This is Keep It Juicy, episode 99. Hello, and welcome to Keep It Juicy, a weekly podcast that features experts on living a juicy life. What's a juicy life? It's a lifestyle for those who have put in a few miles and are ready to turn off-road, who are still learning and excited, who are fearless, or who are scared but dare anyway. Juicies are grown-ups, so some of our language may not be appropriate for children. Juicies are bold, passionate, and ready to squeeze every drop of juice out of life. I'm your host, Helen Mitternight. Are you ready? Let's keep it juicy. Hi, it's your host, Helen Mitternight. Today, we're talking with transition expert, Maria Tomas Keegan. I was originally going to talk with Maria about the transitions we all experience in life. You know, aging, job changes, that kind of thing. And we do talk about that, but we're also talking about managing the transitions that come with being under quarantine, which seemed a little bit more timely. Transitions. Today on Keep It Juicy. Welcome to Keep It Juicy. We have Maria Tomas Keegan here, and we're going to be talking about transitions, which, boy, something we're all going through these days. Welcome. Glad you're here, Maria.
Thank you so much, Helen. It's a pleasure.
So, just stepping back a second, why is it in general that transitions are so hard on us?
Oh, because nobody loves to change. There are very few. I think the minority of people are those who just, you know, thrive on change. So I think that's the number one reason. There's a lot of resistance to it. Things are good the way they are. Why do they have to change? So it can just kind of knock us off our foundation. It might take us to our knees, and worst case scenario, it just takes us out for a while until we begin to feel into the change that is happening that's causing us to transition ourselves. So that's the transitioning part, is that what happens on the inside, kind of from the inside out, and we move and grow through that.
And is it just as hard with an anticipated transition as with an unanticipated one, or is one different?
I think they are both difficult, certainly when things come suddenly. There is a shock factor that we need to deal with first. When we can anticipate the loss, it's expected. I don't know that it is any easier. I've been through both kinds myself, and ultimately the shock is the horrible part, but the process we have to go through to heal from that is pretty similar.
Do you mind talking a little bit about that, about why transition is so important to you personally?
Sure. I feel like when I look back at all of the things that have happened in my life, I would not be who I am if I didn't go through them. And for that, looking back, I'm grateful. It was all kinds of emotions going through, things like abuse as a child and divorces in my 20s and 30s and 40s. There were only two of those. I was actually in my 40s the second time. And the losses, very sudden loss of one of my brothers, and 2 months later, an expected loss of another brother. Both my parents, dear friends, who struggled with cancer and lost the battle. Horrible things to see. And most recently, a very dear friend who contracted the coronavirus. And we, on a ventilator, hospitalized on a vent for 10 days and not knowing whether he would survive this. And now we've just found out that while he was at home struggling with it before he was hospitalized, he apparently infected his wife, and now she's got it. So there's so much uncertainty around change and what we need to do to transition through it, to move through it, so that on the other end of it, we look back and we have grown and we're better for it. I just believe that ignoring that process is what gets many of us stuck. And embracing the process is an easier way to do it. And that's what I am passionate about, helping others, especially women, to get to the other side of transition with more ease and grace.
I definitely want to talk about how you do that, but because you brought it up, I do want to ask, because when this airs, I have no idea. I have no way of knowing from one day to the next where we're going to be in this pandemic, whether we'll be open for business, whether we'll be in a second wave. I mean, who knows? Nobody knows anymore. So my question is that if with this shutdown and with the stripping away of our usual social supports, which I'm assuming has to be one of the ways that you deal well with transition, what advice do you have for people?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what, you hit the nail on the head for the very first thing I recommend is finding creative ways to stay connected with the people in your life that are there to love and support you no matter what. You've got to find other ways to keep that alive so that you each are supported by the other. And that, you know, there are so many people who are using the online technologies, video technologies like Zoom and FaceTime that are keeping them connected. I know families who are getting together religiously, and I use that term intentionally right after, you know, they all go to church on a Sunday, they get on a Zoom call and they have what they call their appetizer before dinner visit, which I love. I just love that they have created a way to do that. And it brings them all together and there's a lot of laughter and a lot of story sharing and that sort of thing. So I think we just have to find ways to stay connected, number one. Because I call these people in our lives, I call them our personal board of directors. Because if we truly are the chairwoman of our lives, then every chairperson needs a great board. And those people on the members of your board are the people who can support you in all areas of your life. So they're not just, you know, best friends and family members, but they're people you really can talk to about, you know, what's happening today? What's happening in your life? Because we are all in this storm together, but we are not all in the same boat. We're all in different boats. So we get to reach out to the people who we need. Is it, you know, a financial advisor? Is it, you know, talking to the people at your bank because of the, you know, all this whole financial thing that's going on that small businesses can't get their money? That has been promised. Who are the other people on your board of directors? That is number one. And without that, it's really hard to do this alone.
What other things can you use besides social supports to help with transition? What kind of internal things do you need to do?
So one of the things that I find is most empowering for us is to look back at our lives and focus in on all of the times that we have done things well, that we have succeeded, that we have survived an event, and how we did it. Sometimes it's not pretty, but we can look back at all of those times in our lives. And
that's actually quite hard because, you know, a lot of us have an easy access to the inner critic, but the inner cheerleader is a lot harder to find sometimes.
Well, and you don't have to be necessarily a cheerleader to find those times. Just acknowledge that they've happened, right? Because when you look back at them and think about each one of those activities, events, circumstances that you have experienced, you've learned something from it. So look at that. What did you learn as a result? And as we look at each one of those circumstances, I like to suggest that you imagine that each one is, you know, a square piece of beautiful, brilliant fabric. And you're going to take each one of those episodes in your life and you're going to stitch them together. Imagine that you're stitching them together. So you, as a young person, you learned how to fly a kite. As a middle school person, you aced an exam for the very first time. Tap into how that made you feel. As a young adult, you may have gotten married, joyous, divorced, not so joyous, learned something. What are the lessons that you learned? And just think about all of those things that you are now sewing together into what I like to call a cloak. So let's say you're in a situation right now today that is causing you to feel less than confident that what you're going to be able to do when all of this is over is going to look anything like what it used to be. And I want you to don that cloak of confidence. All of those things are, those are your reserves. Those are the things that can help you today know that you got this. You've done it before. You can do it again. You've got the support that you need with your board of directors. And you've got these cloaks. I have several. You know, one is a cloak of confidence. Another is a cloak of grace and patience. Sometimes I need to don that these days because, you know, a lot of us are at wit's end. We're going a little stir crazy and we may not be behaving in the way that we want. I donned my patience cloak over the weekend. So I think those things are things that you can tap into from the inside out that you've already learned in your lifetime. And those become tools in your treasure chest that you can pull out, dust off, and use again.
It's almost like you've built armor.
But it's very soft. It's not holding anything. It's not holding anything in, and it's not preventing you from receiving anything. It is literally just embracing you, empowering you to be that again, whatever it is you learned.
How do you frame in your mind, like what you're talking about is you're reviewing the lessons that you've learned, the reactions that you've had that have had an outcome that's been helpful, either because it was a good or a bad thing. But I think one of the hardest things for people about any transition is the lack of mm-hmm. control, that you're not in charge of it, that it's happening mm-hmm. to you. And so how do you reframe it so that what you're drawing is giving you some measure of mm-hmm. control?
Great question. I've been talking about this with a lot of people lately. So it always, that word control always brings up a prayer that I was taught when I was a little girl by my grandmother. And it serves me, has served me well throughout my life, and it serves me even really well today. And that's, God grant me the serenity to accept things I cannot change, have the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. So that is the foundation of control. You know, if you take that perspective, that there are certain things that are in your control and there are certain things that are not, let go of the ones that are and focus on the ones, I'm sorry, let go of the ones that are not in your control and focus on the ones that are. And sometimes it takes getting a little creative about what is in our control, because you're right, I think people are feeling victimized a lot by this this virus and what it has done to them, to their life, to their business, to their routines. To, you know, in some cases, in the worst cases, to the loss of family members or friends. And there's nothing we can do about that. But we can take control of things like how we respond to all of that so that we survive, so that we can cope, so that we can adapt to the circumstance and be prepared for when this pandemic is over, we are free to move about the cabin again, and there we begin to discover what the new normal will be. So there are things like, you know, what time you go to bed at night, what time you can wake up in the morning, how happy you feel, what you do to make yourself happy, what you focus on. Those are all things that you can, the thoughts you think, are they positive, are they negative? So those are all things that are in our control, even during times when there is nothing. There appears to be nothing outside of our homes, since we're all still mostly still sequestered in homes, there's not much we can control out there.
How do you get to the point where you have the calm, the centeredness to be able to do that? I mean, it's, you know, this sequestration has lasted a long time, and that's given people maybe the chance to kind of get there if they've got that toolbox that you mentioned. But what about something like the death of a partner, or the things that are, or you know, or a job, the things that are just so sudden and brutal and knock you off your foundation? How do you get to that point where you can do what you're talking about?
Well, I think it takes time. There is no switch to flip, unfortunately. And for everyone, it takes, they may take a different route. So first of all, and I mentioned it before, you got to let the shock of the event, whatever it was, to pass. And that takes a little time. And then there's a lot of emotion that is bubbling up. You're going to go through a cycle. Many call it the grief cycle. I don't think that it's necessarily secular. And I don't think you necessarily go through the emotions around grief in a linear way, but you have to go through them. You have to allow the emotions to have motion so that they don't get stuck inside and you don't stuff them down or pretend that they don't bother you. And then at some point, you will get to the point where you think, is this how my story ends? Or what can I do next? Who am I now that this has changed my life? And what do I want to do about that? What do I want to do next? And then you get to kind of redesign, reimagine what your next chapter might be like. And it's at that point that making the plan, creating getting firmly grounded in your values today and making a plan based on a crystal clear vision so that you can start taking small steps forward. That's kind of how it works.
So let me sort of rephrase it in what I think I heard, and you tell me if I'm right, that the coping mechanisms are telling yourself the stories of your past and how you've dealt with things, how you've learned, and the transition part is telling yourself stories about your future self and where you want to be. Is that correct or not?
Well, I think they're all elements of that transition process, that process of learning who we are, how we got to where we are today, what has changed for us. How we got to where we are today is the part of that, you know, all the things we've learned in the past that we can bring forward and use today. And then moving from this point on, it's allowing yourself to let the shock wear off and let the emotions flow through so that you can heal. And then you need to make a plan for what it is you want the rest of your life to look like, and then move towards that.
So how would you use those, I'm going to call them skills, I guess, for want of a better term. How would you use those skills for something that is so essential to yourself, like the aging of your body, the transition from one stage of life to the next, and the grief for the younger, whatever it is, younger body able to do things, younger reflection in the mirror, whatever that is all about. How do you use those skills to maneuver that transition?
So this is one of those gradual processes, right? We know it's happening. We can, as we're very young, we see older people in our lives. And I remember, you know, as a 5-year-old, I thought my grandmother, who was probably at the time 50, I thought she was an old lady.
Oh,
how thankful I am that now a mature woman of a certain age, I don't feel that's old, and I'm way older than that. So I think it all has to do with our perspective about aging. I personally have never struggled with it, but I have friends who do. And for everyone, it takes doing what they need to do to feel better on the inside. And for me, it is focusing on the wisdom I've gained and how that can help others today. Because when we pass on the wisdom we've learned, and I can affect another life in a positive way so that she's more prepared for life and aging and, you know, life events that may happen, whatever it may be. I think it has to do with our perspective and what it really means for us to age. And I like to think that I can help put a new spin on how people think about it so that they at least consider that it might be a worthwhile way to approach it themselves.
I think that's going to be hard for some people because you're in essence asking people to move from player to coach in life.
Mm-hmm. So I often suggest to my clients that they become objective observers of their own life, to step back from whatever it is that's happening and look at it from an objective point of view, as if you were talking to a friend. What would you advise your friend to do? I think that's very helpful. And it is hard. It's very hard. And it takes practice. None of this is an easy thing to do. It's why I work with my clients over a period of time. And we revisit these, what I call tools for your treasure chest, often, because it takes practice. And it takes being reminded that these are tools they can use. But in any situation, anyone can do it. Anyone can step back and look at your situation as if you were not in it, but viewing it. And then what do you notice? What do you see? What do you see might change that you can't see when you're mired in it? So I think that's a very powerful tool to use.
Is there any way to go a step beyond? I mean, we're talking about transitions as though there's something that have to be born or lived through or adapted to. But is there any way to get a person's mindset so that a transition is seen more as an exciting challenge, or is that just contrary to human nature?
Oh, no, I don't think it's contrary to human nature. It's contrary to some people who resist change no matter what. But I think having gone through this particular world event, this pandemic, that has affected everyone in some way, shape, or form, some much more significantly affected than others. But we will come out of this and a lot of things will have changed. The way corporations will structure themselves will change. I believe the way small business owners will gain their and serve their client base will change. I think people who have been stopped in their tracks for a while may be considering what in their lives may change. So I think that the changes aren't going to stop, and the transition we choose to go through, because it's all a personal choice, can either be hard or it can be easier. And it depends on what we choose to make it.
I think that is an excellent place to leave it, because we are just about out of time. Maria, thank you so much for being on Keep It Juicy, talking with us about transitions.
It's my pleasure, Helen. Thank you so much.
If you want to read more about Maria or get her free ebook, check out the general resources page on our website, keepitjuicy.com. Next week, we're back in Charleston talking with therapist Janelle Muhammad about strengthening the intimacy in your relationship, even if you can't be together physically. You can keep up with us on Facebook or Twitter at KeepItJuicy.com, or you can go to the website and sign up for the newsletter. Meanwhile, go out there, or stay in there if we're still doing that, and keep it juicy.